In the name of Jesus, I would like to greet you all. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, I'm very thankful to this congregation because I would have never set the land of America. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I'm going just to show you some pictures of the work that I'm doing and some of the things that possibly are needed. Not that you may be in our ability to do them or to, you know, but just for you to know, it is very important. I would first want to read a scripture in the book of Acts of the Apostles. There was a problem of circumcision, and people ended up in Jerusalem trying to solve it. After that event, we read in Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, records this for us. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." I want to underscore that last phrase, "and see how they are," because that was the question that I was asked by the United States Embassy. "Why do you want to go to America?" And I said, "To see how they are." It was by God's providence that the officer simply said, "Well, your visa has been approved." And I tell you that in many cases it's difficult to get an approval for anyone in Africa to come here. There are a lot of strict laws, but I think my coming here was by God's providence. It was meant that you see me physically and I get to see you physically, and we thank God for that. If I don't use this thing properly, please don't laugh at me, because it's going to be the second time for me to use this. I want to talk about work and needs. And I want to first start and say that I want to talk first about the country where I am from. The country I am from is Zimbabwe. Let me see if I can pull out the I'd put it on the second, if you can be able to see right. Now, that's Africa. And you see further down there, that's Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is in that blue, and we have South Africa. Most people think that Zimbabwe is in South Africa. No, Zimbabwe is a separate state, which is not South Africa, it's not Zambia, it's not Mozambique. It is just a country which to the north we have Zambia, and then we have Mozambique on the east, and to the south we have South Africa. And then with that, the country of Zimbabwe is this one. And I'm way there, you can see there right at the end there where it says Victoria Falls. That's where I am, just right the far corner there where the Zimbabwe has a, something like a tip there. And so that area, there is a place called Hwanki. It's about 100 kilometers from Victoria Falls. Victoria Falls is a resort town. And as you have heard, that's a place where we have one of the wonders of the world. And that's where my home is, and that's where I am stationed, and that's where the church is. So you guys, when you want to come and see the waterfalls, that's the place where we are. Now, let me go back then and show you some of the things that I want to say. Am I going the right way? No, I should go back. Uh, Right. First of all, I want to talk about my family. I am married to Vimbai, and I've got three children. The first one is Patience, the second one is Priscilla, and the third one is Paul. Patience is 15 years, Priscilla is 9 years, and Paul is 3 years. We are there in Victoria Falls with my wife, and we usually do what we call going in and around Victoria Falls to preach the Word of God. There are several things that we are doing there as a couple, as I do the work of preaching. The first one that I would like to talk about is reaching out to the lost, which is usually the most important things that every Christian should do, and we also do that. We go to villages. There are villages around the Victoria Falls town, villages around the Wangi area, and in Zimbabwe you can safely go into a village where you are not known. You talk to the crow head or to the chief, and you ask permission to go homestead by homestead and teach the people. And once you are given that permission, you are free to go. As a result of us doing that, we have had several congregations around the Victoria Falls town. There is what we call Lukosi Church of Christ, Sidore Church of Christ, Half Masimbi Church of Christ, and Jambezi Church of Christ. Almost about four. We do this because we actually go into these places because they will not be knowing the gospel. And you know, it involves moving from one place to one place. And it's not as comfortable, I was talking to Brother Rob, it's not as comfortable as you people do here, where you go by just in a vehicle. You take a public transport. Like, I don't have a car. You take a public transport, you get to a destination where you then have to walk maybe about 6 or 7 kilometers on foot. Of course, we are used to it. But it's, even yourself, you'll be feeling very tired. But it's worth it, because when we do that, we see how God uses us. Because you knock at this door, you talk to those people for some weeks, you find other people will simply say, well, we have heard all the truth that you said, but we're still thinking about it. But some will quickly obey the gospel, and you have a church set up in that particular area. And so it is worth it. The work of reaching out the lost is one of the most important things that we do. And we want to tell you that all of you here, when you have been putting your money in the collection plate and it's given to God, for it to be used the way God has said it is to be used, and it is sent to us, we put it to good use. The second work that mainly we also do is edification. As you know, when you bring these people to Christ, there is need to go back to teach a lot of other areas they need to know. And so we do that. I do not only do that in the area where we are, but many times I'm invited in many places to edify many people on different subjects, because some people say we feel that we are much more encouraged when someone comes from a different place. So there's a lot of edification that happens in these four churches around the Vic 4 areas which we have established, plus other churches that are a bit far from Victoria Falls. The other work that I do is teaching morality and God in high schools. Now, this I have been talking to Brother Rob. He says it does not happen here. Now, what will happen in Zimbabwe is this. You can go to a high school and be given an opportunity to stand before an assembly, before kids go into classroom, and just to share the word of God, maybe some words of encouragement. But let me tell you, brethren, this is not what I only do in schools. I have been given some letters by, I saw that there was a need. And so I went to the Ministry of Education to get a clearance, not only from the district and the provincial level, but from the headquarter level. So I have a clearance from the Zimbabwean Ministry of Education, from head office of that ministry, to go in any high school to teach God and morality. And so what it means is, I don't just go on the assembly. I get at the school, they give me the timetable they have for the period, the session for guidance and counseling. And I follow that session to go into that classroom and into that classroom and into that classroom for the week that I am there. What it then means is, if I am in an area, then I will also use that opportunity to go to the village head, because classes are usually in the morning up to about 1 o'clock. So I go in that area. If there are two high schools, I am in the morning, I am with the kids, and in the afternoon, we then try to go into the homes. So the work of teaching God and morality is a work. So far, I can safely say we have two that we have baptized through that. And as a result as well, teachers, you know, when you are in the staff room and it's a session where you don't have a class to go, you will be in just in the offices and you are talking to teachers, and they begin to ask the question once they know you are a man of God. And you say, well, would you like us to talk more about this one? And so we have, so I have so many lessons going on with the teachers through this program. Then there is the work of delivery to needy saints. Most of you, as you understand, Zimbabwe is a country that is affected by drought. In the Victoria Falls area where we are, sometimes it doesn't rain much, sometimes it does. But the problem sometimes we have in the Victoria Falls area is the problem of elephants. Elephants are wild, and sometimes the national park people, it's difficult for them to shoot them because those animals can be very dangerous. So they say Victoria Falls is a resort town. We want tourists to come to see wildlife, and you cannot tell us to shoot them. And these animals, when they go on the outskirts of the town, that's where Sidobe is, and other places where we have started churches, you find that if the people are unfortunate, they would have grown their crops, maybe that year it would have done very well, but now all these elephants pass by that field and they destroy almost everything when it is about to be harvested. That's why many times you have seen me saying we need some help, because especially our brethren that are at Lukosi, they will be having totally nothing to eat. And we try to help them through the help that other brethren who have ability do. So, you see, when you put your scent to God, and God says, use it to help in this way, and it is done, we know we are obeying God, and not only are we doing what is right, we are saving someone, the physical soul and spiritual soul. Remember that as Christians here, we do not have an opportunity to save someone who is lost. We also have that duty to keep those people who are saved, saved. And we do it in several ways. And that's one of the ways we try to help those people. So the work that I do is to deliver when brethren in Zambia, in America, send some help to say, we have heard information that these people are lacking food. I try to go with those things bought in physical terms. We don't give them money. We go with the things, because those are the things they need. And we deliver those things We make them line up there, and then we take a picture with the heaps of meal. We don't eat different foods like you do. There is one staple food that is called saza. I don't know if you people can be able to pronounce that. This is like a thick porridge. You know porridge. You put more of that cornmeal in it, and then it becomes thick. And with that, you need like dried fish to eat with it. And that's what we survive on. And so if a mother does not have that 20 kg of meal or 50 kg of meal, she is in trouble, because that's the staple food that the kids depend on. And so the work of delivery to needy saints is one of the work that we do to try and help these people. And then we have the work that I am doing in Victoria Falls with the brethren there. That's the work of trying to build a church building. From the time the church started in 1997, we do not have a church building. There are two reasons for that. Number one is the reason that in Victoria Falls, it is a resort town, and they are very strict to give places for church buildings. They wait until the local government has given permission for them to give a space to church people who want to build their meeting places. The second thing is, you might go to the local authority to want a stand, but they need to know how much money do you have in your account. And many people will not be having the money. They say if you have, say, like 5,000, then you are giving us a guarantee that you can just straight away clear the ground, put the foundation, and start. That's why you find many of our churches in Africa, people only meet in a rented classroom or under a tree. So what we are now doing is we have started a program where each of us in the congregation who are working, we give some kind of money so that we start to build up our own stand. We have not been given a lot, but we have been promised that once you have funds that will be equal to an amount that we need, then we can allocate you so that you can. And I want to say this, my brethren. I know things in America, you might have everything, but you have a lot of other things to pay. You have education, you have insurance. But let me say this to you. It would be very important for you as individuals, if we know it's not scriptural for a church to send money for a church building to another church. But as individuals, if you feel you want to help in some way toward the building and the being given of our church place to meet, we would love you to do that, because the reason we are now working toward, we have started this, is that we are seeing a great humility in some sense. We know God understands us when we meet anyway, but we have people around the world who come and they ask, where do you meet? If you have seen our website, it says mossychurchofchrist.org, and we are meeting in a classroom. And it is really something that we have been thinking. You have people around the world, and when they come at a school, there are so many denominations. You meet in this classroom, and that denomination is playing a band, that one is making a lot of noise, and it's not even conducive to learning. And so we are saying here, brethren, the work of having a meeting place, as you know here, it's a very important one. I am appealing to those that can. You write to us, and we will make sure that we give you an update of what is happening. Now, that's my email, that one. Everyone knows it. And that's our website, that one. And on the website, there is one of our brother who is responsible and very good at keeping our funds. He has started that from 1997. He's a faithful brother. We assure you that individuals who would want to help toward that, we will be able to update you. So reaching the lost, edification, teaching morality in and God in high schools, delivery to need saints, and working toward a church building, those are the major works that we are doing as a preacher and his wife. And we believe that with your help, success can continue. Now, what I would like to do is, before I go to talk about this, I would like to show you some pictures. Let me see if I can show you some pictures of some of these things so that you can see. Allow me to pull this one up. Now, that's my wife, Vimbai, and that girl, that's Priscilla, and that one is Paul, and the girl is Patience. That's my family, and they were saying that when you get where you are going, greet Christians for us. And so I want to give you their greetings. This is a church that is in the town of Hillside, in Bulawayo, in the town of Bulawayo. I am invited by this congregation regularly to help them in a lot of subjects in edification. And Bulawayo is on a highway road when you are going to Harare, and it's one of the major cities in Zimbabwe. And I do a lot of edification whenever we have the funds to do that. That is Masuwe River, which is in the vicinity of Victoria Falls. I think there we were baptizing, I think if I'm not mistaken, we were baptizing a man called Tendai Siwa. That's when we had been talking to him. Now he is already married and they have left that particular area. And so the work of reaching the lost, that's what we will be doing. Those are the two brothers that are in the Mosi congregation. These are preachers, young preachers that are scattered around the country. They had invited me and my wife to join them so that we will do some door-to-door preaching. Unfortunately, my wife was not here because, you know, we were given a place to cook. So she remained there with some pots of food which was being prepared. And this was when we were coming from there. And there are so many young people who are interested in teaching. We always tell them, you don't come to preach because someone will help you with money. You come to preach because you want to save the lost. However, we would also appeal those that would want to help these people, write to me, and I will be able to connect to these young people. And as little as you can, they can add to what they are sacrificing to teach the word. This is the church in Victoria Falls, Moswatunya Church of Christ. Moswatunya means the smoke that thunders. This is where they had the word Moswatunya, which refers to the waterfalls. As they come into that deep hole, they make like a smoke. So this is called Moswatunya. This is the church that is in Victoria Falls that I mainly work with. This is a fellow preacher at Sidobe. This is just one of the members that is there, but he is very instrumental in trying to teach the word of God. There I was giving a prayer at a public function where I had been invited by schools. Because of my connection with the schools, every time they have some district functions, I am the one invited to give some special messages related to the function that will be there. This is a church in a place called Binga. Binga is way up after Wangi, and we had gone there. A certain brother, I think it's Brother Mark Payne, had given money for them to be able to buy some hymn books, and we bought the hymn books, and we were able to deliver the hymn books. This was when I was with the teachers. You see, I am the one righted that back. What I have done in my work of morality, guidance and counseling, I also go to district officers and ask the teachers to come at a central place so that we will be able to talk together with them and help them with some scriptures that will help them to talk on sensitive issues like immodesty, fornication, homosexuality, pornography. They say, Mr. Mangwinyana, we hear you teach in our classroom, but these subjects, we are given the guidance and counseling session and timetable to teach, but we don't have information. So we would want you to gather us, and they take each teacher from the district, then they come to a board room of the district education offices, and then I conduct those sessions. So as you see, the work that I do in Zimbabwe is so great. It's only that you people, we don't come in. That's one thing I'm going to encourage you, to get to come there, if ever you can, when you are on a visit, and get to see what we are doing. You see, when I write an email with pictures, it's not enough. You need someone who comes from here to come and actually say, we were with Tenson and we went to these places. That is very important. It will be a source of encouragement. But we want to say, this is one of the work that I have done. And this is a work that is reaching people who are more of the top class. Because you see, when we go to villages, you're reaching the lower class. But with this program, I'm now able to reach the top class. And as we create a relationship, I end up setting up Bible study. And sometimes you even receive a call from a preacher in that area that, you know, that man who is a teacher, he finally came to our worship service, and I am conducting some studies with them. Some of them will even get baptized in those areas because this preacher, once he sees their interest, he can follow up with them. So the work of guidance and counseling is also that it's not limited to the kids, but we also extend that to the teachers. This is what we do. You will see that on some of my needs, I was going to talk to you about the importance of having a projector. I was talking to the courthouse church in Virginia, and it seems that particular need, they were saying they will have a meeting to take care of it. So that one is subtracted. But I use the projector that I used to have. It's now broken. But this is very important. You see, this is in a rural area. We go in that area when it is daytime. We go door to door. We invite them at a school. We say, we are going to have a lesson. And when everyone is there, we print the lessons that we are going in the native language of that village. And as I teach, people will be reading, and we try to buy some papers so that they will, I have a generator because there will be no electricity. So we put the generator and we put the lights and we give them some pens. You know, all in Africa, you have to supply these things. You have to supply because people will not be having them. But the good part of it is the result. The result. To he who wants to obey, you will finally see them coming up and say, I think I have understood. So this was at a place called Chilanga. The church is already in existence now as I speak. After we conducted two sessions, we went there for 3 days and we went back, and we were in town for a week and we went back. And the second time, we had 7 people who were baptized, and then one by one people were being baptized. As I speak, I think they number up to about 17 who have. Remember, we go in these places when there is also Church of Christ. You know, and there are other churches of Christ that are just Church of Christ, but they're teaching things that are not in the scripture. So we're talking of those that have accepted the truth. This is in a classroom situation. When I go in classes, sometimes I teach morality using my projector, and you know, the teaching is very useful and very effective and efficient. This is the school called Mosotunya High School. which is in the Victoria Falls vicinity. It's one of the classes that I have been teaching. This was a 2010 class. These are some of our young people in the church at the Mosi Otunya Church of Christ. You can see my daughter right there at the end there. This is a group of young people at that place I told you called Lukosi. These were the youth. Sometimes on Saturdays, because of the need of young people, they need to be taught about these moral issues. I always say they come on a Saturday and we have time to teach them. This was in Harare where I was asked to come and preach at the Waterfalls Church of Christ in Harare. And I had the Bible study and the lesson as well. That picture was taken when I was right in the classroom of some senior students at Mosi High. I think that time I was teaching on the subject of what it means to be honest in life. This is a church at Lukosi, and that was Brother Gibson teaching the Bible class that day. This is an old man. Now you can see that man, he just stays in that hut. His wife passed away long back, and as you see him, he's a Christian. We baptized him with Brother Christopher, and we had gone there to encourage him. These are the real people that you help. This is a remote place. As you see me there, if you see my shoe there, it's dusty. We had walked a long way to get to where this man stays. It's in a far remote place. And he was so happy to see us, and we had brought him a bag of 20 kg for him to eat. And he was so thankful. And so I'm just showing you this picture. Now, you see that there, that is when we do a homestead. You get to a place, you ask them to teach the word. Some are receptive. You see, that's my wife there. I was just seated there. I just stood up to take a picture. And you find that some of the people will be so receptive to this teaching, and eventually we get to baptize them. So let me now finish up my lesson by going back to where we were, and I just want to pull this one up and say there are some things that I think I need to say, which are like some needs. As you very well remember, brothers and sisters, in Acts chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, the scripture is very clear when there were some needs in Jerusalem, that each one of them had to give what they can, and after that was done, it was distributed according to those that were in need, and no one was in need. It says in Acts chapter number 4, verse 34 and 35, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales, and they lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." It is very important that when you have people in a certain location, on a certain work where we find commands, direct examples of those things happen, we need to follow the same way. When there are needs, needs must be kept. So I want to share with you a few of the things that I think are my personal needs and the needs to the work. The reason for this, as I have said, is that it may not be that everyone or the church is able to, is to get you to know those things, so that if you know of any congregation or if there's any individual who can do what they can, we have shown you what it is and we can communicate more. You can be able to help us with these needs. Help me specifically. The first thing that I would want to talk about is, as you know, this particular congregation, I am so thankful you have been helping me every month with a certain amount, and I'm very thankful. And when you were doing that, there was also a church in Texas, I think Brother Travis has heard about it, the Helton City. They began to have some problems. Some people were getting old, some were going somewhere, and they were shifting, and they had financial problems. So when I lost this the support from the Helton City, it also happened that at the same time people here said, no, we're not going to do that, as we wanted to take care of the preacher that is coming. So it leaves a need for me to have support. Because of a lot of activity that I do, 750 monthly support is needed, plus $300 work fund. What this does is that when you have enough of this work fund and that which can cater for your, remember, Victoria Falls is a resort town, and the food there is very expensive. Those who will come there, you will see it. It's not cheap like in other places, because their food tag is kept on tourists who come. So the life there is very expensive, and this is a need that I'm trying to ask you, if you know of anyone to help. It has not been, right now as I speak, I just have $110 that come from just one individual. And that we live by faith with the Vimbayan children, that things will work out. And then perhaps later, a car is needed. Many times when I go to these places, you're just walking on foot. And you know, the most, let me say this very powerfully. One of the things that you see when there is a funeral and you are the preacher, it might be that you need to go and take the corpse in the clinic somewhere to bring it there, and everyone will be looking forward to you, and you don't have the car, and people will just be seated. And sometimes you end up, when you have a salary, because you have no choice, you end up going to someone nearby who has got his vehicle and ask to hire him and write it down to say, I will pay you a bit so that you go and take that person so we come and borrow it. A need for an African preacher to have a car is very necessary. And this is one of the needs that, from the bottom of my heart, I have to say. And I do not mean you do it because the church here has some obligations. I'm just going to say that what I will need is something, a cheaper car, like what I noticed there is what they call, it's a Toyota Ipsium. I wrote the wrong spelling there. It goes about 5,000 to 7,000, depending on how strong it is. And there are these vehicles that if you take it, you can go as far as, not only when you go in rural areas, but even when you go in urban areas where you are conducting some morality lessons, it will be very good for you to have a car. And then I was talking to Brother Rob about the Bibles. In most of the places we go, you find it's very difficult to teach when people do not have Bibles. People who have done, what do you call it, is it middle level, middle school or elementary? People who have done grade 7, grade 8, most people in the rural areas can read if it's simple English, like the New King James Version. It's written in. So I think we need Bibles in cheap print. I was saying to Brother Rob, even if we get a Bible that has just a cover, and then it's not on special paper, it is on newsprint, and it has larger print, we will need those. I was saying to Brother Rob, I can ask as a minister of religion, I can write to the government to have rebate, and then the Bibles can come in. This is one of the things that, because in my area of edification, when you go to these new churches and edify, you need to give them Bibles because they don't have. I know that sometimes people will develop a being given syndrome. And usually sometimes when a person is given, he doesn't take care of the thing. But we try to emphasize that. But we need to give them. So Bibles are needed. And when we have this, it will help. And as I said, individuals, those that can help, they can help towards the construction of our building. Now, this should be done as individual help, because I do not find in the scriptures where a church from its fund can give another church specifically maybe for that. So those individuals that, so those are some of the major needs that I would like to say to you. Those that can sacrifice, please let me know, and we can see how it can be worked out. That being said, we do not have much time. I want to say a short lesson before we dismiss. And this lesson is just going to help you and me to be very careful as God's people that we don't allow ourselves to get our mind robbed of the sense of what is sinful. Why we get desensitized to sin? Sometimes you find Christians get desensitized. Their sense of knowing what is right and wrong is robbed. And we want to just help one another before we close. I would like to read that important scripture in the book of Hebrews. Most of you, I'm sure you know it, but let's just revisit it and hear what it says. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse number 12 and 14, we read the following words as the Hebrew writer was trying to encourage these Christians. It says, Hebrews 12, 5, 12 and to 14, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have no need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need and drink solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Notice, brethren, as the Hebrew writer writes to these Hebrew Christians, he tells them that we must be people who are able to discern between good and evil. That's not happening in the world today. Why is it happening in the world? Why could it be happening in the church that people are getting desensitized? These are some of the points that I would like to share with you, so that we are aware in our Christian life that we don't get desensitized. The first I would like to bring to you is we get too close to sin. You remember, I'm not going to read some of these scriptures. I'll just explain them because of our time. You remember when Lot was asked to choose where to go? The Bible says in verse number 12, he pitched his tents close to Sodom. When we get too close to sin, there will come a time that we get ourselves desensitized. Imagine you are used to watching a bad movie all the time. You are like Lot, who is pitching his tent close to Sodom. When we get too close to sin, brethren, we sure are going to get ourselves desensitized. You will see someone putting a very mini skirt and just comfortably walking among people and doesn't care. And if you ask, you say, what's wrong with this? What's wrong? Huh? I don't see anything wrong. What's wrong with this? The reason is the person has got so much desensitized that he or she, you cannot tell them about what is modest. We need to remind ourselves never to get close to sin, because once we are desensitized, we will never come to our proper sense. Hebrews says we need to be people who discern good from evil. Another thing is, sometimes we ignore the power of bad influence. Proverbs says, can you carry fire on your bosom and your clothes not be burned? Many people think when they do things that are sinful, they think the influence will not affect them. Especially when we are God's people, we need to be very careful that we are not doing things that will influence us into immoral activities. There is a power in things that are bad. I think this is why Paul wrote to the Corinthians when he was addressing the subject of the resurrection. He says, do not be deceived. Bad friendship corrupt good what? Morals. There is a power. There is a power when we ignore the bad influence of sin. So we need to remember, if we get close to sin, we become desensitized. If we ignore the power of sin or bad influence, we get in trouble. We also sometimes adjust ourselves to sin instead of resisting it. Directly against what Paul wrote and said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewal of your mind. So if we adjust instead of resist to sin, we get so desensitized. You know, when I talk about adjusting ourselves, this is what I mean. Here is the world. They are doing an activity. We feel and we know that it's sinful. But because we are among them, we say, but we cannot be different. Let's just try to be like them. And then we adjust ourselves until we are almost like them. When that happens, brethren, you come to a point where your sense of knowing that this thing is wrong is completely robbed, and you will never get to know what God expects of you. And I will never know what God expects of me. So we should never adjust ourselves to sin. We must resist sin. Sometimes it happens because many people I see, they postpone becoming Christians. I think we know of the story when Paul was speaking before the king, and the king said, you want to make me a Christian now? There was an element of wanting to postpone. If we postpone to obey the gospel, if we postpone to do what is right now, it will be too late to do it. Because by the time you try to do it, you are so much in homosexuality. You are so much in pornography. You are so much in fornication activities that it's difficult to get you out of it. We need to be aware of things that will make us get desensitized. And I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, once you are desensitized in a particular sin, it's difficult to get you out of it. Because you say, I don't see. If you see something wrong in it, that's okay with you. But I don't see anything wrong with it. What do you do with such a person? Who tells you, if you see it's wrong, well, that's what you see. But I don't see it's wrong. Never allow any situation that you get yourself into a situation. And many of us think that God will not care about it. We think that when we do things and we get ourselves so used to sin, I don't think God will care. God will indeed care. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, let's read that together. I know we know it, but I want us to read that scripture together. Paul says something that is very important. He says in verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or evil. If you think God will not care about it, God will not do anything about it, a day is coming, my brother, my sister, where you will stand to be judged. It doesn't matter your educational status, your financial status, or what you are, whether you are poor. If it is against what God says and you were given an opportunity for you to hear it, so you don't do it and you don't use it, each one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat and will have to answer for what they have done. Conclusion, we need to be very careful so that we don't turn away from God. The people of Israel were told, be careful, Deuteronomy, that you don't turn away from God. In the book of Psalms 97, it says, those of you who love the Lord, avoid sin. I think Paul wrote that same statement in 1 Thessalonians, where he says, avoid every appearance of evil. We need to avoid. Brethren, we need to avoid. There are certain things, there are certain comforts. I don't know whether you see it here, but I've seen in Zimbabwe people who are of the top class, people who have plenty. they do things and they say, well, I don't care. I don't care. It's my time here on earth. If I die, I die. They think God is going to be that lenient. Our God is a loving God, but at the same time, he's going to be a fierce God. Do you remember what he said in Hebrews 10? He was talking the subject of coming together to steer one another, and said, this is the habit of some. And verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10, 26, it says, if we sin deliberately after we have known the truth, Christ is not going to come on the cross again, but we have a fearful expectation of judgment. My brother, don't allow yourself to get desensitized, because you will start to sin willingly and the Lord will take it serious with you. Are you not desensitized in a sin? Maybe you are. Maybe you have not made a decision and you think, I'll do it next week, I'll do it next month. Maybe you are allowing yourself to get your sense of knowing that God wants you to obey him. You better do it now, because as I have always said again and again, there is no better time than right now. I thank you for your attention.
Could you turn to 268? 268.